Yes, so as we have prayed, may it please the Lord to indeed open our hearts, our understanding to him and his word. Glory be to his name. Will you turn with me, firstly, to the Gospel of Mark, Mark's Gospel in chapter 16. And we're just going to read the last few verses. It's in the Bible, so I believe it's supposed to be there, these verses. I'm asking the question, which gospel are we believing? Which gospel are we believing? So Mark's gospel, chapter 16 and verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief, their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Just turn over to Acts in chapter 10 and verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all of the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And Hebrews 13 verse 8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to the Lord. Which gospel are we believing? Which gospel are we witnessing to? I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed that more and more preachers and teachers and evangelists and so on seem to take more time today explaining away the word than proclaiming it. I think you get a degree now as to how one can do away with the word or make the word say something which it clearly doesn't say, because it seems that that is happening more and more. And unfortunately, many of our pastors, preachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, and so on are going to Bible cemeteries and are sitting under liberal tutors, etc., who themselves haven't been saved and are not declaring the whole counsel of God. So it's a bit of a sorry mess. Others, of course, are getting their belief structures and preaching styles direct from the TV preachers, the evangelists, the prophets, and the apostles. Now, can I suggest this morning, and I think you know this, that there is a full gospel to proclaim, F-U-L-L, a full gospel to believe, a full gospel to really believe in, but there's also a fool's gospel, F-O-O-L-S. There's a fool's gospel to be avoided at all cost. That's the one Satan is interested in us taking on board. But there's the full gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to each and every one who believes. Glory be to his name. The fool's gospel is believed by foolish people who, in their carnal reasoning and their mindset, in their unconverted and unsanctified minds, are determined to explain away everything and anything within the Bible. You see, the Bible says it cannot be understood with our carnal mind. But we try to, and then we make a mess of it. The supernatural power of God is a must. And if ever it is a must, it's to die. The supernatural power of God. But increasingly, it's being explained away. Or the force comes in place. The hype comes in place of the true supernatural power of God. So in its place is often a dead religion. I was there for donkey's years, too many years, friends. But there's a dead religion that has been substituted in place of the vibrant and supernatural relationship between the true believer and his living God. And that's what God wants, to have a supernatural relationship between father and child, which will then impact our community, our places of work, our colleges, our homes, our neighbourhoods. He is the one who changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read in the Psalms, don't we, that the fool says there is no God. And surely only a fool would mess around with and try to explain away this clear and plain teaching of Holy Scripture. We think of, this is precious. We think of what's written in Proverbs in chapter 3, which most will be able to quote it, I'm sure. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge the living Lord. He will direct your hearts. Because if we're acknowledging the Lord, we're asking him for wisdom. We're asking him for direction, and he will illuminate his word. He will bring the prophetic word to us. Hallelujah. So I don't want to come over as being negative. I have to put, as it were, one side to demonstrate the power of the true, of the real. What are some of the signs of the fool's gospel? Well, we may believe that Jesus indeed was raised from the dead and that he ascended up into heaven, but then somehow he's gone into hibernation. Once we've got his word, once it's been written, that's it. And the first century has been and gone. We've had the word completed. But frankly, if that is so, we have a stagnant gospel. We have a stagnant gospel that can never, ever satisfy the soul. Our Saviour is somewhat in his hibernated stage. We can sing the hymns, we can sing the choruses, we can tithe and yet be comfortable because we are largely untouched by the living Lord because God's word has been largely explained away. And there's no power to die. Content to hear a fool's gospel. In a fool gospel church, F-O-O-L, I get me a fool. Okay. In a fool gospel church, you will seldom have your feathers ruffled with much preaching about sin. We don't teach sin because people will stay away. But unless we talk about the depravity of hearts who are not born again, by nature, we have come short of the glory of God. We are sinners. We are proud creatures. Unless that is demonstrated and talked about, how can the gospel, how can the remedy be preached and believed? If I don't know I'm a sinner, why do I need a saviour? So, the fool, a gospel preacher or evangelist, will often offer cheap tickets to heaven at the expense of all of the teaching of Scripture, which plainly teaches us that without holiness, no one will see God. You see? So this fool gospel, F-O-O-L, this fool gospel gives false assurance. It gives a false assurance of unconditional eternal security. The fool's gospel is saying that no matter how you believe, no matter how you live, whatever you believe, no matter how you live, whether you're obedient or not, you've got your entrance to heaven. It's guaranteed. How the devil loves that one. He really does. As long as you've made a decision for Christ, all is fine. But what was the decision, we ask? What was the decision? Was Christ actually present when the deed was done? A decision is something which you do when you go to McDonald's. Do I order a Big Mac or a quarter pounder? A decision is made then. We have to make a decision. But salvation is obtained by repenting of our sins and totally surrendering to the Lord. Surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. And then, with his grace, by his grace, and his Spirit living in us, we seek to walk obediently according to the teaching of this book. Let's turn in Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. I think I'd better come back to that decisions in a moment just to clarify because I don't want any misunderstanding. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. This is Jesus talking. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Of course, James, doesn't he, in the epistle, his epistle tells us that, hey, don't just hear the word, do the word, be obedient, live the word out. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. We, by God's grace, I trust our disciples. If we're disciples, we are believing all that Jesus has commanded us, and we're seeking to live it out, an obedient, righteous life, knowing we still come short, knowing that we still need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, but we're also making disciples, going out making disciples who believe the full gospel, not the fool's gospel. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, says many things, but he says something to them. He says, look, he says, I have held nothing back. I've kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews, then to the Gentiles, but also repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance for our sins, turning around and then saying, Jesus, not only are you now my Saviour, that you have forgiven me by the sacrifice that you made on the cross, your blood was spilt for the remission, the taking away, the blotting out of my sins. But now you're my Lord. I've got a new boss. You see, the Bible says, hey, if we're still in sin, if we've not yet come to faith, the devil is still our father. We do what he says. This is why the full gospel is so important, because that's the gospel which creates in us a new heart. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. And we can now choose to believe Jesus and turn our backs on willful sinning, because we have a new heart, a soft heart to Jesus and his word. The fool's gospel keeps people in ignorance, but they think they are right. I was saved out of that, friends. So I've got no stones to throw, sticks to chuck. I've been there, and I still need God's mercy. It's the biblical Jesus and the biblical gospel, because it's that. I tell you, when we're in the presence of Jesus, the real Jesus, sins are exposed. John says something, doesn't he, again, about this being born again, and let me just quote it accurately from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The beginning of the Gospel is all about the new birth, that we must be born again. And then in verse 19, Jesus says this, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is why I say, folks, let's really, really get on our knees. Beg God, not only have mercy on us, but when we, that we may be living righteous lives, holy lives. You see, friends, I may be a full-time minister, as in quotes, but if you're a believer, every one of you should be a full-time minister. Whatever your age, if you're a Christian, you should be a full-time ministry. First of all, it's ministry unto Jesus. Ministry unto Jesus. Worshipping Jesus. Being in his presence. Being fed by the living word. And then declaring this glorious gospel. This wonderful gospel. We should all be about our master's business. But first of all, it comes from staying close to God. The Lord was touching folk here this morning. He still is. He is still speaking to us and ministering to us by his grace. You see, in his presence, not only do we see ourselves as we are, but we see the holiness, the glory of the Lord. We also see his arms of love and compassion. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to be proclaiming even this weekend. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. Friends, people love darkness rather than the light. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Friends, we want the full gospel. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It's powerful. And we have to believe, because if we don't believe, we will run the risk of hardening our hearts. Let us believe in the power of God, in the full gospel. People hate the biblical Jesus. They accept a social Jesus. They accept a mate Jesus. But they won't accept a biblical Jesus. But some will. Some will. I did. That's all of God, so did you. If you haven't, may God even now convince you of your need of him. Get on your knees, don't leave this place. If you don't know the peace of God, if you don't know the forgiveness of sin, if you believe the false gospel, if you're into religion but not into a relationship, please, God is merciful. Come, Lord, and lead each to you. Faith cometh by hearing the word, by believing in Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. May any of us who've been proclaiming or gossiping or witnessing to a cheap gospel, may we repent. May we put our trust in you, Lord. See, the fool's gospel is devoted into finding better and more successful ways to bring unbelievers into the church, which tends to blunt the gospel to make it palatable to pagan ears. That's the fool's gospel. We have to be relevant, but biblically relevant. Oh, friends, may we, by God's grace, have a certainty, have an assurance about the full gospel. What we read about in Mark's gospel, what we read about in the Acts of the Apostle, the early church, full of the Holy Ghost. We, the church, under the Lord's influence and empowering, we are to give this world Jesus. Jesus. And if we do, then all those who call upon his name, his holy name, will have their needs met. Be careful, though. The fool's gospel preaches a one chord guitar just of hurts and needs. The true gospel, the biblical gospel, will go deeper and cut the roots, addressing the sin issue, and by obeying the Great Commission, which is to call the sin-sick world to repentance and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me assure you on the authority of God's holy word that to meet needs and the real hurts without crying against the sin that caused it in the first place is to do nothing but promote the fool's gospel, which is wimpy, warped, and a weak-kneed social gospel. Did you notice I've got McDonald's and wimpy in so far? Whether I'm going to get Burger King in or not, I'm not sure. The fool's gospel replaces truth with something that is convenient and comfortable and easy. We have, frankly, by and large, in the professing church, invented a lukewarm salvation experience to go with a lukewarm church. God, have mercy on us. Satan's great purpose is to destroy our relationship with God, and therefore he twists and tampers with the word, with the gospel. He does not need to deny it or keep people away from it. He simply needs to change it ever so cleverly and deceptively into another gospel. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah! It's the power of God. Let me remind you, do you know, God has hurts and needs as well. God has hurts and needs as well. He is hurt by the sin that is in the world. He is hurt, he is grieved by the lukewarm, compromised church that has largely ceased to believe in him and to preach and practice holiness and true discipleship. But the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Lord is calling us to get filled with the Holy Spirit, with fire from above, that we will live wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ, yes, in full-time ministry of worship and obedience, and boldly, fearlessly stand in the face of men and devils, daring to preach against sin and point this sin-laden world, our sin-laden community, our sin-laden friends to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who has power on earth to forgive sin and to heal all hurts and meet all needs. We must declare the full gospel. The full gospel that believes that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he does it here and now. He does it in this present time and in our present generation. Young people, he will do it in your generation if only you will believe. It is the same Lord Jesus who will one day descend from heaven on his white charger and take the kingdoms of this world unto himself and reign forever and ever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us preach, let us witness, let us gossip our resurrected and living Christ. A Jesus who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A Jesus who saves the soul. A Jesus who heals the sick. A Jesus who baptizes with Holy Ghost power to enable the believer to live right and to walk in holiness and truth in this present very wicked world. Christians, young people, can you hear the call of God in this hour? In these desperate times, are you hearing the call of God? this church? Are we hearing the call of God? I believe so. I want to. Do you? All heaven awaits the moment when you will arise and act on behalf of your generation. All heaven awaits the moment. Will you arise and act in the power of God's Holy Spirit on behalf of this generation? Yes, it's time to be extreme and radical. Making war in God's name, in God's strength, on the war, on the devil and the darkness. Believing and embracing the full gospel of our living God. Are you ready? Let's pray. Just be quiet before the Lord and just make sure we have believed the true gospel. Friends, I do believe the Holy Spirit is here. I do believe God is at work. Sometimes in a gentle way, but sometimes it's in a much different way. We must allow God to be God. He is sovereign. But if even during this hour you just have the conviction that you're not right with God, you've not made your peace with God, you've perhaps come to God a different way than through Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. If you've come the way of your own good works, your own righteousness, you're still lost. You're still away from God. Our Lord is not willing that any should perish. Although most prefer darkness, the light of the glorious gospel is still penetrating today. Today is still the day of salvation. Today is still the day of God's grace. Don't spurn this Saviour now. Humble yourselves before God and you wait. He will lift you up. Humble yourself before God. Admit your sin, that you are a sinner from birth, conceived in sin. But now, because of Jesus, he's willing you to turn from sin and embrace the Saviour. He is coming to seek and to save that which was lost even now. Come, come to Jesus. Please don't rest on your mother or father's Christianity. You must make that decision yourself. I didn't cover that decision. We still must make a decision to turn from our sins and repent of them, confess them and repent, and then have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. And if any of us have become cold and lukewarm, we've embraced perhaps another gospel. We've got our gospel from the force, our belief structure from that which is not of the true word of God, the living word, the word which will abide forever. Even heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, that will live. Let us confess that even now and say, Lord, it's you and you only. I am believing, Lord, that you will, I'm willing that you will root out anything that is false, anything which I've, and I've taken into my heart or taken into my belief system, which is not of you, which is perhaps even of Antichrist, Lord. Thank you for your mercy that you're exposing this in your presence, Lord. Not only do we find peace and joy, we also do realize, Lord, our imperfections and where we've gone wrong. And you are very merciful and gracious. Very, very merciful. So will you now, Lord, we're willing to be humble before you that we can believe the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we have been dry too long. We have been dry too long. We have not, O Lord, been faithful as we should. Let us now believe in you, Lord, that as we open our mouths and proclaim the true gospel, as we believe it in our hearts, as it transforms us from inside out, we will see signs from heaven. As we preach the word, as we go into our classrooms, as we go into our offices, as we go into our neighborhoods, the power of the Lord will fall because we're walking obediently with you. And the light will penetrate the darkness. I pray, Lord, that which the enemy has stolen, you will give it back to us, even now. We're not after signs and wonders, but we are believing, Lord, that if we're faithful to you, you're in our hearts and you're in the preaching of your word, in the gossiping of your word, in the sharing of our conversations, signs and wonders will follow. Forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief. We're believing you, Jesus. Believing you that even this week, Lord, as we have sought to get right with you, to be in wholeness with you, you're going to do glorious things in and through us. I pray, Lord, we will keep faithful to you even when we're abused and mocked, when it seems so hard at times, that we will still be faithful, knowing that we, those who do not give up, will reap. Help us to sow in you, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Even those who may have a period of weeping, that they will still know joy is coming. Salvation comes. May our homes, Lord, be homes that are full of the love of the Lord, full of the joy of the Lord. As for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. We want households in Furnace Green, Lord. Households in Langley Green, in Ifield, in Oxted, in Worth, in Southgate, Northgate, Tilgate, Broadfield, Pewbush. We want Pound Hill, East Grinstead, Hawley, Horsham, households that will be touched by the living Lord and bow their knee and your kingdom come.